Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging with me and being part of my day. We got some good stuff lined up for you straight ahead. We're going to talk about what Kiplinger has to say, the Kiplinger letter, which, as you know, we've been covering on this show for over 11 years now. We've been talking about, once a week, we've been talking about what Kiplinger has to say about what was going on, what is going on in the world these days, and most of that time, almost 100% of that time, is we've been joined by our good friend Joan Price, senior editor with the Kiplinger editors. Joan, it's been, it's hard to believe it's been all these years, huh?
And so what's the anniversary date?
The anniversary date is May.
My anniversary or Kiplinger's?
No, your anniversary is January 1st. Of 98, so you joined me, I'm sorry, 99, and so you just had your 10th anniversary, if you remember how quickly you forget these. I can't believe you forgot our anniversary, Joan, and so that was back in January, but Gary Matthews, remember that? Remember Gary?
Yes, I do.
Gary joined me beginning in May of 98.
Okay, and so I came on in January of 99. Okay.
Yeah, he was with me for the rest of the year. Until he left the company and went on to other things, and then you joined me. So it's been a long time. Wow. But, you know, of course, I have been here all the time.
Yes, we know, Jim.
I'm the constant in all of this chaos.
Boy.
The constant in the chaos, as Dan Fogelberg sang one day. Hey, Joan, speaking of chaos, they don't call me the king of Segway for nothing.
Well, that was beautiful.
Speaking of chaos, we've got this recession thing going on.
We do.
And the U.S., according to Kiplinger, led the world into the recession, but organization, what entity is going to lead us out, John? What are we saying?
Well, you only get one guess, and that's the answer is the U.S. And,
yeah.
You know, isn't that what we talk about all the time anyway?
It's all about us, John.
Yeah.
So the U.S. is going to lead us out, and I believe that. And here's why I think, Joan, it's because of my audience.
Ah, small business owners.
There's no question.
Sure.
There's no question about it. There's no, you cannot keep a lid on the pressure cooker drive and creativity and entrepreneurship of the American small business owner.
Right.
You cannot keep that pressure buttoned up. It's gonna come out, and because we're pathological optimists, we do not like this feeling. We don't like the way things are going right now. We want things to be better, and by golly, we're gonna make them better.
I'm sure you will.
I believe that with all my heart. And see, here's the thing, Joan. If there's one thing that other countries don't have, like America has, it's small businesses, the small business sector.
Entrepreneurialism.
It's unique in the world. Now, that's not to say, Joan, that there's not entrepreneurship in the former Russian countries, the former Soviet countries, I should say. There's a lot of entrepreneurship there.
True.
There's some entrepreneurship happening to some degree in China, and a lot of entrepreneurship in India.
Yeah, but I think you said it right. You said to some degree.
To some degree. But no other place on the planet has the well-developed small business sector like the United States.
Right.
And it's not just a timing thing, leading the world out of the recession. It's a structural thing because of the small business owners. Canada and Mexico can't wait either, can they?
Oh, absolutely.
Because they've been hit hard by this, haven't they?
Sure. No,
tell us why.
We say that, yeah. Well, and they need us because we say that 4/5 of the exports from them are bought by us. So they really want us to be buying a lot more.
Well, we're each other's. The trade that we do with each other is huge.
Yeah.
Isn't Canada our number one trading partner?
I think so.
Don't we get an awful lot of our oil from Mexico?
Absolutely.
I think so. And
sure.
But now there's another thing that you guys reported that I thought was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's one and this is associated with the illegal immigrants, folks. Tell the audience what one of the reasons why Mexico is really hurting right now.
Well, in terms of the cash sent home, you mean?
Yeah.
And this isn't just illegal immigrants. This is plenty of legal immigrants, too. Folks who come here, and this is true not only for Mexico, but I think throughout Central and South America, people send a lot of that money home, and that helps those economies.
No question about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, Joan, about, you know, one way to stem the tide of illegal immigration is a great recession.
Oh,
you know?
I'm afraid that may be true.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, John, I'm Mr. Silver Lining. I'm trying to find, you know, I'm Pollyanna here. I'm playing
that
the
is
glad,
one way to look at
I'm
it.
I'm trying to play the glad game here, Joan.
That's right.
And, and so we're always trying to find something, some positive thing there. But Canada also sells us a lot of petroleum, a lot of oil.
Right.
We buy a lot of natural gas from them,
sure,
according to you guys. And, of course, one of the big things is timber.
We yes, buy oh, a from lot, Canada, sure.
We buy a lot of wood mm-hmm. from Canada.
Yes.
And so they need our home building sector to get back
yes.
in business. And so so all eyes, so Americans, you know, we're going to be important again, Joan. What do you think?
Well, I think we never stopped being important.
Oh, we didn't?
Yes.
Okay,
we
good.
We did not.
Europe, Joan,
yes.
is not going to, according to Kiplinger, is not going to be recovering as quickly.
And yeah, we say Europe is even worse off than we are, you know, because we're seeing a light at the end of the tunnel in terms of the recession easing. But we say many countries in Europe will be stuck in recession until late 2010.
Yeah. Well, and of course, I want to remind you, Joan, of something I've been saying to my audience for a few days now. And that is to differentiate between a technical recession and the practical recession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the technical recession, some people think that we may actually be wrapping up the technical recession this quarter. Some economists have told me that they think that we could start having positive, albeit slight, but still positive growth,
yep.
maybe beginning next quarter.
Okay.
Which means that if we can have a couple of runs of that, maybe, you know, second half of the year, technically we can be out of the recession. But, Joan, with unemployment as high as it is, it's still going to feel like a recession. Practically speaking, we're still going to have the recession, right?
Well, sure. And we keep saying that unemployment is a lagging economic indicator. And we feel, I think, at least at Kiplinger, that it's going to lag for quite a while.
I think that's going to be a cold comfort statement, isn't it?
right.
It's going to be cold comfort from that because, I mean, I think... maybe Wall Street can use that term, but on Main Street, I don't think unemployment is going to be a lagging indicator. I think it's going to be an abiding indicator for a while longer, and that's going to be one of the main reasons why it's going to take a while to get through this practical recession. 20 after, right back. When we come back, I want to talk about another a reason why Europe is going to be. Have a tough time getting out of this recession. And it's an answer I've already given you. 20 after. Stay with us.
Now can you tell me?
A little bit of Stones bringing us back. The Rolling Stones, that is. 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using that. We built it just for you. Everything there is free thanks to our corporate partners and my organization. I hope you'll thank our corporate partners by considering them for your business. And of course, when you get to my site, if you got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or whatever in between, we got something you can read or listen to there. You can ask questions from my knowledge base, AskJim.biz, which is right off the homepage. My blog is right off the homepage. My newsletter is there. You can subscribe to that. We'll send you that every Sunday afternoon. Get you ready for the week ahead. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're talking about the recovery that seems to be happening, however slowly, however deliberately it is. And Joan, I think this is a recovery that is going to happen. I think my prediction is that we're in the recovery right now, meaning sometime soon the technical recession will be over. But I do believe that we will spend some time in a recovery before we actually go into an expansion. If we actually,
oh, okay.
So
yeah, there's a difference there.
I just think it's important to point that out. I mean, I think we can't call anything an expansion,
right?
As long as we've got unemployment above 6%.
That's right.
in my opinion. So we're going to be in a recovery. We could be, truthfully, Joan, and I think you'll probably agree with me on this, we could be in a recovery in this country for 24 more months.
Oh, I think that's true. Yeah,
maybe even more. Maybe even 36.
It from an expansion.
Yes, maybe even 36.
Yeah.
It could take a while. I mean, because Joan, I saw something the other day. It may have been something you guys wrote, where a third of the jobs that have been lost in the last 18 months, those jobs don't even exist anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those people can't even go back to their jobs if they're
exactly.
if they wanted to, if you know they just there's just no place for them to go.
Right.
But Europe, I want to come back to Europe, Joan, because you guys report on this week. Europe is going to have a tougher time. And, Joan, the reason why is because of what we talked about a while ago. They don't have a small business sector like we do.
Right.
They just don't. And there are restrictions. There are very little restrictions today on starting and growing a small business in America. We think there are over here. We actually, you know, I fuss about them, some of the things that happen. I'm complaining about this or that. But the truth is, we don't really have any restrictions like they have in Europe.
Right.
And so that's another reason. There's a direct connection. There's a study was done by Babson College and the Kauffman Institute. Every year, the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor has been coming out since 1999. Mm-hmm. Every year they make the case. They statistically make the case for the growth of an economy, of a national economy, being directly tied to the health of the entrepreneurial spirit in that country.
Wow.
It's a direct connection. Mm-hmm. And they don't have that in Europe, and so that they're gonna yeah. it's gonna be tough over there. Joan, Japan, talk to us about Japan. They're teetering, aren't they?
We say that they could have a double dip recession. The old what do we call it? The W or the
yeah.
B?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it depends on consumption. Now they apparently have their own stimulus going on, but that stimulus is going to run out in December, and the question is whether people will keep buying.
Joan, if they have a W recovery. Another recession. That's a big W.
Well, and they were in recession for what, over 10 years?
Joan,
before they
were they've never really come out of
really.
To my knowledge,
yeah.
You know, Japan went into this economic funk in 1990.
Right.
Around 1990, Joan. Mm. They lost a decade. They lost the '90s.
Yeah.
To a large degree, and Joan, I mean, what do you know about anything significant out of Japan in this decade?
Can't think of a thing.
It's tough. I mean, I don't know what's going on over there with those guys. But China and Brazil. Now these are some couple of countries you guys report. China, India, and Brazil. This is three of the BRIC nations, right?
Right.
Brazil, Russia, India, China are the BRIC nations. Folks, if you hear that term, that's what they mean. These are emerging economies. I don't know why they put Russia in there. I guess they need to spell BRIC, Jones, the only thing I can figure out. But China, India, and Brazil, these guys are leading the world, aren't they?
Yes.
They're already... I don't know about Brazil, but China and India have had really not that much of a recession, have they?
Well, that's right. I mean, their growth has been slowing a little bit, but in a way that's good for them because it was really out of control, particularly with China.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. They still got a lot of problems in China, Joan. There are a lot of problems. They got ethnic unrest over there.
Right.
My China expert, Ted Fishman, tells us that in the South, they got significant unemployment down there. Mm. So they've got their own problems, but in terms of the recession... And I think one of the things they did, though, China did a massive government stimulus over there.
Yes.
That I think may have helped things, and we'll see how that plays out, what that portends for the future. But the interesting thing to me, Joan, is that India and China are becoming our two biggest competitors. They're more and more. They're our two biggest competitors in the global marketplace.
Right.
And so they're getting pretty healthy over there, and they're going to be the forces to reckon with, I think, in this recovery and in this expansion. I think that's what we got to look for. We come back, we're going to talk a little bit about inflation. We're going to talk a little bit about the Fed and a little bit about the automobile industry. Here's Joe Cocker to take us out. I'm Jim Blasingame. Joan Pride is our guest. Stay with us.
Inspired. for small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need, but there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. We got our good friend Joan Pride still with us. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and that's what we're talking about, the most recent Kiplinger letter. And Joan, over on page 2, inflation is something that I've been concerned about, and I still think it's a long-term concern. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But right now, and probably for the foreseeable future, it doesn't seem to be a big deal, does it?
Well, that's what we say, and that's also, I think, what the Fed chairman said yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And there are two, there are a couple of reasons for this, Joan, I think. Well, maybe three, and I'll see what you think. One is consumption. Obviously, if you don't have a lot heavy consumption, prices aren't being driven up. And so that'll change when the economy, as the economy expands. Another one is pricing power. Businesses have no pricing power. In a recent survey that I covered with Bill Dunkelberg, the chief economist for the NFIB, the number of companies that could raise rates were raising rates compared to the number that were dropping prices. Raising prices as opposed to the companies that were dropping prices was a big differentiation.
Wow.
I mean, there's very little pricing power out there.
Yeah.
So if you can't raise prices, you're not going to be fueling inflation.
Right.
And the other thing, Joan, is there's a very similar drop off the table in wages.
Right.
There's a significant depression in wages right now.
Yes.
So those three things, as you know, Joan, is what drives inflation. And of course, housing, too. Look at housing.
Yeah.
I mean, how long is it going to be till housing picks back up, Joan?
Right.
So that's a big inflation issue. So I think those things are going to but all the money the government is spending, Joan, and the governments around the world are spending, those are the things that concern me about inflation.
Yes.
So we'll see how that goes, but at least for the time being, it looks like and something else, Joan, is the surveys that I've seen show that small business owners are not currently, where they have been worried about inflation in the past, they're not currently worried about that as much anymore. Joan, let's move down. And you mentioned the Fed. You mentioned Mr. Bernanke. He testified before. Was it the Senate yesterday?
I don't remember if it was the Senate or the House. No.
Yeah, I forgot. No, I know. It was the Senate because I remember.
It was, okay.
I remember Chairman Dodd was the. I heard
oh,
him
okay, there you
speak
go.
A little bit and about that. And I will. You'll thank me for not going into my opinion of his remarks because they were pretty bad, but. One of the things that you guys report is there's going to be more openness and oversight. You say that oversight could endanger the Fed's independence. Now, talk to us about that a little bit.
Well, we say that the fear is traders would lose confidence and worry that the Fed might be vulnerable to political pressure because, as you know, it's always been, or at least appeared, very, very independent traditionally.
Well, and a lot of secrecy.
Well, that's true too.
They've had a lot of secrecy. Now he's tried to be a little more transparent than his predecessor, hasn't he?
Well, yeah. It used to be that you never knew what they did at a meeting until months later they would release the minutes. But I think the minutes come out pretty quickly now, and I think they try to telegraph their current thinking as soon as possible, so it's not this big ivory tower that people don't understand.
Well, for a long time, you got the feeling that Greenspan was a little bit like Oz, like the Oz
behind
Volcker the curtain.
Well, Volcker was certainly like that.
Yeah, behind the curtain. Yeah, you covered Volcker, I know, for a long time.
Yeah.
They were behind the curtain twisting the dials and all this mystique about what they were doing. And now they're becoming more powerful. They're gaining more control over our monetary policies, monetary activity. But at the same time, they're becoming more transparent. And so, you know, Joan, I always felt that the Fed mystique was actually a little bit of its advantage. What do you think?
Well, I guess that's why they wanted it that way. They figured it was an advantage
mm-hmm.
for
So, you know, I mean, I just wonder if familiarity could breed contempt in this case. What do you
think? That's one way of putting it.
Huh?
That's one way of putting it.
Well, you know me. I'm always, you know, I'm always putting a sharp point
You're
on things.
It, yeah.
But they're talking about giving the Fed more control over various things, and I'm not so sure. I think that's going to be that's going to expand their portfolio, in my opinion, beyond their strong suit. And I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about giving the Fed more power, more things to do. I think they need to focus on their primary goal, which is holding inflation down. Joan, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Joan, folks, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the auto industry. There's good news there this week. Actually, today. 20 till. Stay with us.
Why don't you come with me, little girl, on a magic carpet ride? You don't know what...
We're back at 17 till, little Dire Straits there. Is that Dire Straits or just Mark Knopfler? Either way, it's Mark Knopfler on. That's who that is. That's Dire Straits and our one of the greatest guitar players on the planet, Mark Knopfler. 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. And we got Joan Pride here. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and they got a website that I encourage you to check out, Kiplinger.com. It's an outstanding site, and they got some outstanding publications. Joan and I work off of the Kiplinger Letter every week, and we've been doing that now for a long time. It's the flagship. It's the one that's been around since 1923 that I don't remember the first edition, although I have a copy of the first edition, Joan.
Yes, I know. I think I gave it to you.
Yeah, no, Gary Matthews gave it to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you can take credit for it if you
Thanks.
Want.
Thanks.
You can tell other people that you did, and I know you do. And of course, the publications are available to subscribe to from the website, and that's the Kiplinger Letter. That's every week. And then, of course, Joan, you guys got the four biweekly letters, the California Letter, the Tax Letter, the Agriculture Letter, and the Biofuels Letter.
Right.
And then, of course, that magazine thing.
You bet. Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
The flagship Personal Finance Magazine. It's available on newsstands. Joan, what's that phone number?
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And, of course, they got lots of stuff there, so I hope you'll check that out. Joan, let's move over and talk about... Oh, are you on Twitter, Joan?
What?
Joan, are you not on Twitter?
I'm mentioning this thing. I don't know what you're talking
Kiplinger's
about.
Kiplinger's on Twitter. What is that? I know
they
that.
They are? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got that
maybe
somewhere.
I should find out what that is.
You know why I know?
Uh-huh.
Because they follow me.
They do?
Kiplinger follows me, absolutely.
I have trouble believing that.
Well, that's not very nice.
I know.
I've got that here somewhere. I'll find it. Anyway, Joan, let's move over and talk about I want to talk about the automobile industry. What's going on with the diesel cars? What are you guys saying about that?
We're saying that most automakers are dumping their plans to increase production of diesel cars.
Huh. But
they're more interested in hybrids.
Well, yeah, because you know diesels are not—that's still petroleum, right?
Right, and I can remember back. You know, I'm dating myself when I was a mere baby when we had the last oil crisis back in the '70s. Diesel became the hot fuel for a while, but then it petered out again.
Well, that's because they didn't build American car companies tried to build diesels just to on the whim of the consumer.
Yeah.
And because the gas they burned, you know, you get more per miles per gallon, and the cost was lower in those days per gallon for diesel.
Right.
But they built crappy, you know, motors. I mean, the motors were awful.
So that's why they never caught up.
Yeah, they were exactly. No, they never. They basically retrofitted a gasoline engine with a diesel injection system, and it just never worked.
Yeah.
The biggest jokes were the Cadillacs. They were awful. But anyway, makes sense. But diesel, Joan, diesel is not the future.
I don't see how it could be.
No, diesel's not the future.
Yeah.
Alternative fuels, which is some kind of electricity or hydrogen or magnetism or something like that, Joan, is. But now you do say that they're gonna focus on hybrids.
Right.
Ford, GM, Toyota, Nissan, they're all bringing out hybrids.
Yep, and the European makers. Say the European makers, they're still working on diesel, but, you know, they tend to be behind us, right?
But see, the Europeans have a good diesel motor. Especially Mercedes.
Okay.
Mercedes is the creme de la creme. They're the creme de la creme of diesel. But still, that's not the future, Joan.
Right.
Businesses today have got to focus on where this marketplace is going, where customers are going, where the realities are going. Mm-hmm. And that's future thinking, future products. But now, Joan, I do want to report, though, on Ford. You know, Ford is the shiny spot. They're the fair-haired child of the American automobile industry, right?
Yes.
Could you tell the audience why?
Why is Ford? Well, because they were better at paying off their debt. You know, they didn't take the government money.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because they had mortgaged plant and equipment.
Right.
And they had sources of money that the other car makers didn't have.
That's
right. They were able to kind of get themselves out of their hole without having to use the government.
And Joan, they have good news. Today they reported that whereas in the previous quarter they lost like $3 billion and they burned through $3 billion in cash.
Right.
This last quarter they report on, they burned through only $1 billion.
Oh, is that all?
I know, but see, this is really good news.
Yeah, I know.
We don't like the number, but we like the trend.
No, you're right. You're
so
right.
So Ford is really doing great now. And I say great. Relatively speaking,
mm-hmm.
Ford is the big deal. Joan, Honda. I'm proud of Honda for what you guys reported this time. Tell the audience about that, the hybrid thing there.
Well, they're interested in hydrogen-fueled vehicles.
Yeah, I mean hydrogen. Yeah.
Yeah, and but it's going to take a while to get them on the road. We say 8 to 10 years.
It's too long, Joan.
Yeah, I know.
I really am holding out for hydrogen. I just think, I don't know why, but I've reported on that a little bit, by the way. Mm-hmm. What was the guy, Robert, what was the name, the guy's the GM chairman, why can't I think of his last name? He left GM and went to a hydrogen company and helped them develop a hydrogen engine. Yeah.
Wow.
What's his name? It starts with an S.
I don't remember.
Anyway, I'll think of it in a minute. I interviewed him on my show about that technology. I just think that hydrogen, surely that's an engine for the future, but it seems to be pushing off quite a bit. You guys have been reporting on hydrogen for a long time. Kiplinger has. Because I started talking about hydrogen with Kiplinger years ago. By the way, the Kiplinger Twitter address is KiplingerBiz, B-I-Z, if you want to follow them on Twitter, by the way. Tintail, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
And I'll be at your side forever. In a white room with black curtains, in the station.
We're back at 7 till. There's Eric, or sometimes known as Derek, when he was with the Dominoes, at least. Sometimes known as Cream, as well, when he was with another group. Mr. Clapton, right, Joan?
Long time ago.
Yeah, you like Clapton, though, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back. Now, she's serious about that. She really does like... That's not her... Sometimes it's hard to tell her sarcastic sarcastic remark from her regular remarks. Sometimes she gets a little confused. But she wasn't sarcastic about that. 7 till, welcome back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Joan Pride is our guest, and we're talking about... Joan, one thing I want to talk about is I want you to give us the report on taxes. That's one of your strong suits, and what's Kiplinger have to say about what's going on in the world of taxation these days.
How much time do I have? An hour?
Okay, you're done. you just used all your time, Joan.
Great. I can sum it up in three words: healthcare reform.
Yeah.
Watch healthcare reform. There's two things going on. Number one, they're talking about tax increases to pay for healthcare reform, and the big thing now they're talking about is a surtax on what they call upper-income taxpayers.
Joan, I bet you're all busted up about that, aren't you?
I know, and I know you are, too. And then the other thing they've talked about is for employees who now get tax-free, their health insurance premiums paid by the employer aren't taxed to them, but there's some talk about taxing a portion of that. That's one part of it.
Yeah.
The other part is embedded in health care reform, the taxes that employers and individuals would pay if they didn't have what's considered, sufficient health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
They would pay a penalty equal to a tax.
8%.
Well, that, yeah, that's the employer. Mm-hmm. I think it's in the Senate. That was
above,
I think it's both houses.
Above 25 employees, right?
I think it's, well, and that's, that number keeps moving around.
I know, and it'll keep moving down.
And I think there's one proposal that talks about the amount of, you know, they look at the amount of payroll mm-hmm. as opposed to the number of workers. So they measure different ways.
Joan, this kind of the very fact that you had to report just now on all this nebulous and vague and you know, some of this irrational behavior on how to pay for this thing, and the fact that they're talking about taxes, more taxes to pay for it, is the reason why this thing's going down. This health care reform thing is going down. It's not going to happen.
Well, we'll see. I think something will happen, but I'm not sure how comprehensive it will be.
Well, and it needs to go down completely, in my opinion, so that we don't need to even let the camel get its nose under the tent at all. But I think that's a good, important point, and that is the big news. You are exactly right. You've lurched uncontrollably to the truth.
As always.
That is the big news, is the tax proposals for the health care reform bill that the administration and the leadership in the Congress.
It's a tax journalist's dream.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
If this goes down, I'm going to hate to see it happen.
Anything else on taxes? It's a big deal right now that you want to talk about?
We're all health care reform all the time now.
Well, really. You know, and that's the way it is in D.C.
Yeah.
I mean, Obama is all in. Democrats in Congress, they are all in. They pushed all of their chips to the middle of the table.
I could talk about other little items, but it's just that's the big thing.
You're
that's
right. You're right about that. Joan, let's move over in the time we have left and talk a little bit about business travel. Mm-hmm. You know, remember that registered business travel program that
we've talked about that for ages.
Yeah, where you could be pre-qualified and you could avoid all the lines. You could flash your badge and you would be pre-approved. You could zip right through the lines.
And this was all spawned by September 11th terrorist attacks and all the lines that occurred at security after that.
And I kept waiting on that to proliferate and be available to me.
Right.
And it never was.
But see, Jim, if you would just buy a private jet, you wouldn't have this problem.
Well, I know, but the leasing works out for me pretty well, Joan.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I always aspire to do what you do, Joan, but I can't quite make it.
Right.
But seriously, I always wanted to have that. And I would be glad to let them look into my background, and I'd promise them I'd never carry a nail clippers on the plane with me. But anyway, that deal's kind of fallen through the cracks now. To whatever degree it was available, it's kind of losing momentum now, isn't it?
Well, the implementation kind of was bollocked up, and there was a bankruptcy by one vendor that they had chosen to run the program, and.
Right.
So not a lot of airports are in the program. So I think you're going to have to go back to the drawing board on this.
Joan, quickly, the post office wants to scan mail and deliver it electronically. What's that all about?
Yeah, I can't really get my mind around that.
I don't understand what they're trying to do here. Can't I already do that for myself?
Well, apparently that's what the Swiss do now, and most mail recipients and senders like it, we say.
But why would I need them to scan my mail if I have a scanner, Joan? I can send my own mail electronically.
No, send it, but the stuff you receive, I guess.
But why... I still don't get it, Joan.
But
either way, it's going to cost 50 cents a pop in the future pretty soon, right?
For
a stamp. It's amazing. They just can't seem to get their act together. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job
today.
Thank
you, Jim.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. I will be too, but it will be tomorrow. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.